Lord, take the poverty of my speaking and of our listening and transform them by the riches of your grace, that we might live and work for your praise and your glory. Amen. Please sit down. Perhaps because of the Brexit debate, it feels like the Queen's New Year's honours list has not had a great deal of attention this year. In total, over 1,100 people received an award. And the honours list demonstrates the breadth of service given by people from all backgrounds, from all across the UK. Many of the people honoured by the Queen are well known. Men and women in the news, top athletes or people at the pinnacle of their profession. We might say that they are extraordinary people, particularly gifted and able. But many of those honoured by the Queen are quite ordinary people, people that we might not otherwise have heard about, head teachers, community workers and volunteers. Yet because of their service within their community or area of work, they are also acknowledged as being extraordinary. They are people who in one way or another have transformed, have changed for the better, the quality of life of the people or communities with whom they work. This blend of the ordinary and the extraordinary is at the heart of the story of the wedding feast at Cana. The extraordinary man Jesus is presented to us in the relatively mundane circumstances of a wedding feast. He is called on to save a celebration that otherwise would have turned sour, to bail out the hosts who might well have been very embarrassed because they hadn't ordered enough from Majestic or Threshers. God's transforming presence need not be something sought outside of our everyday circumstances. Jesus reveals his glory in quite ordinary circumstances. It is something to be recognized under our very noses in everyday people and everyday situations. The question is, do we have the eyes to see? Thinking about that wine, as St. Augustine first observed, what Jesus did at Cana was really no more than a speeded-up version of what he does every year on 1,000 hillsides as vines silently turn water into grape juice that will be transformed into wine. Millions of people enjoy that wine every year without for a moment recognizing the divine origin of it all. One day, a man was sitting in a metro station in Washington, D.C., and started to play the violin. He played some music by Bach, about 45 minutes worth. During that time, since it was rush hour, it was calculated that 1,100 people went through the station, most of them on their way to work. 3 minutes went by, and a middle-aged man noticed that there was a musician playing. He slowed his pace and stopped for a few seconds, and then hurried up to meet his schedule. A minute later, the violinist received his first dollar tip. A woman threw the money into the pot and, without stopping, carried on walking. A few minutes later, someone leaned against the wall to listen to him, but the man looked at his watch and started to walk away again. In the 45 minutes that the musician played, only 6 people stayed for a while to listen to him. About 20 people gave him money, and he collected $32. When he finished and silence took over, no one noticed. There was no applause, no recognition. No one knew this, but the violinist was Joshua Bell, one of the most gifted violinists in the world. He had just played some of the most intricate and beautiful pieces of violin music ever composed, and played it on a violin worth $3.5 million. 2 days before this, Joshua Bell had sold out a theatre in Boston where the seats averaged $100 each. That's a real story. A social experiment organized by the Washington Post concerning perception, taste, and priorities among people. In a commonplace environment, at an inappropriate hour, do we perceive beauty or talent or stop to appreciate it? If people do not have time to stop and listen to one of the most talented musicians in the world playing some of the greatest music ever written on one of the most valuable instruments in the world, how much else are we missing? Christ's life-changing presence is at work in the lives of every one of us, as our second reading this morning highlights. This is true, however ordinary we might feel. Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth, telling them that the same Spirit of God gives a variety of gifts for the service of the same Lord. God is at work in our lives, providing the gifts with which to serve him. Do we have the eyes to see those gifts in ourselves and in one another? We might feel that we are quite ordinary people, and our culture often discourages us from putting ourselves forward. Yet through God's Holy Spirit, every one of us can do extraordinary things for him and in his service. This week, perhaps take time to think. If you don't already do so, then what gift or gifts has God given to you that you could use to serve him, to build up his body, the church, or to serve him in the wider world? You might perceive a gift in the life of someone else that you know in this cathedral community. They might just need the word of encouragement from you to offer that gift in Christ's service. I and my clergy colleagues want to enable and support your Christian discipleship and ministry, whatever form that might take. This week, try and think of a way in which you can be a transforming presence in your home or family or workplace or community. This could be as simple as befriending someone who is lonely, or as challenging as offering a word of forgiveness to someone that has hurt you. The transforming power of God is not only seen in the life of individuals, it is also seen in the life of nations. Our first reading highlights the transforming presence of God in the life of the Jewish people. From the water of exile in Babylon, God was guiding his people to the wine of new life back in their homeland. And that's symbolized by the change of name from forsaken and desolate to "My delight is in her." Whether you consider the Brexit process as more like turning water into wine or wine into water, whether you think it is more like a return to the promised land or a journey into exile, there is no doubt that the life of our nation is at a turning point. Parliament representing our nation is struggling to find any sense of unity or common vision. And part of the church's vocation in this setting is to express in its life the gift of unity that is ours in Christ. At the beginning of this week of prayer for Christian unity, our reading from St. Paul reminds us that we must hold on to a common vision and a sense of unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ, whether they be Anglican, Roman Catholic, Methodist, or other. Later this year, the Armenian Apostolic Church is coming to hold worship here and to offer something of their distinctive expression of faith in Christ. We all receive our gifts from the same Spirit and serve the same Lord, even if we worship or express our faith in different ways. And never more than now is it crucial for the broken body of Christ, the Church, to display the unity of commitment and purpose that it has in Christ, to demonstrate how we can retain the bonds of peace even amidst our differences and disagreements. Ecumenism, the striving to express the unity that is the gift of Christ to his Church, is an expression of the work of his Holy Spirit that we must do everything we can to foster and support. This is but one way in which the Church can seek to serve our nation at a time when disunity and discord threaten to reign. And if we wish to fulfill our calling to fish for Christ, then ecumenism means mending our nets so that we can do this effectively in our nation today. We cannot fish well with torn nets, because people see the rifts and the disagreements between us and they slip through the net. So the story of Jesus at the wedding feast at Cana combines the ordinary with the extraordinary. The joyful, exuberant, transforming presence of God is under our very noses, in our own lives, and in the lives of the people around us, if only we have the eyes to see. God will change us, if we let him, from water into wine, from old into new, from ordinary into extraordinary, so that others might discover that life-changing presence in us as well, be changed themselves, and give glory to God.